Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
We are back with another episode of Boots, Balls and Bras with myself, Farrah Williams and Nancy Baker. Heavy weekend of fixtures, apart from obviously Chelsea were taking place in the Champions League. The results, it was a bit flat. There was 3 draws and 2 wins over the weekend, and we'll touch on all of those games. But in my opinion, no other place to start than the Sunday night kickoff where Manchester City were away to Bristol City. Bristol City needed 3 points to give themselves any hope of survival. Really difficult game to play. But I watched it. We watched it on Sky. So we obviously watched it on Sky. And it was like for about 60 minutes, I actually fought Bristol, which I fought all season about Bristol. I think they're a well-coached team. I think Lauren Smith has done an unbelievable job with the smallest budget in the WSL, obviously being promoted to WSL 1. Smallest budget, young squad. The way she's got her team playing, and she's had to adapt in season, and you know, for young players to be as disciplined in the style of play that they have played, you know, sitting off the ball and waiting for those counter-attacks, I think she's done a fantastic job. Manchester City obviously took till 62 minutes to break them down with Fowler, and we'll talk about Fowler's goals because I thought she was phenomenal in that game. But frustrated and really were in a game until those moments. I don't know what you make of Bristol. Obviously, they lost that game, which means they've been relegated, but you know, what did you make of them overall this season and maybe even in that Manchester City game on Sunday night?
In the game specifically, as you said, it took until 62 minutes. Mm. I remember at halftime, they went in and I was like, this could be, it's not a thing, but I was like, magic of the WSL.
Yeah.
Bristol,
a draw.
City might like get a draw. Yeah. They could even win here. Yeah. You know, when you're just like, you're like, they've not conceded. Mm. They're doing so well. They're working their socks because City were pushing and they had chances. And I was like, well, this could happen here. This could be a magic moment in the season. Mm. And then once City come back out, they had that, 10, 15 minutes to play. It was...
They struggled. Look, they dominated possession as City. We know they always do. They do it against the top teams. But it actually took a moment of magic. Fowler,
that goal.
You know, especially given, and we'll touch on it, the news about Bunny Shaw, her injury and being out for the season. But that goal just takes it onto her left foot outside the box and hits it in the top corner. It gives the keeper no chance. But I think that goal then just sets them on the way. Once City broke the deadlock there, I thought there was no coming back from Bristol. And they obviously went on to win the game 4-0. But what did you make of City up until that point?
They wanted it. They were trying to score. They just couldn't get it. I think the fight from Bristol were really, really fighting. And it's a credit to them because they have done that all season. Yeah. As you say, they've come up to the WSL. They've had the lowest budget in the WSL, which instantly puts them on the back foot. Yeah. In from
the most inexperienced team within the WSL.
That's the word I'm looking for. They're the most inexperienced. Yeah. They've brought in players who have played a bit of WSL football here and there, but they were on the back foot and they've done so well this season. But it was just up against them, wasn't it?
And I think the levels were shown a little bit. Obviously, when you come up against Manchester City, it kind of shows your levels and kind of where you're at. I'm disappointed for them because I actually thought they come into the WSL.
They've got talented players
and
as well.
They do have a good young group of players. And I hope for Bristol because we obviously saw the fan base as well. I mean, they've created a phenomenal fan base there at the club. They're doing things right on and off the pitch, in my opinion. Obviously, the budget doesn't support that because I think if it did, they would have stand a better chance, you know, in the WSL this season. But I hope their players and I hope Lauren Smith can keep a good crop of their players together and they can go again next year and really try and fight and bring themselves back up. But the same for the fans. I hope the fans stick with them because, as I said, in terms of their marketing and, you know, really supporting the team, I think they've done it, you know, one of the best probably behind the likes of Chelsea, Arsenal, Manchester City. So they've done a fantastic job in getting the support, certainly at home. But Manchester City were obviously out with Bunny Shaw's injured. We've seen that and we'll touch on that news. But in terms of their style of play, watching them, I felt like for all the good that Bristol did and tried to frustrate them and make it difficult, they missed their presence. They missed the fact that they couldn't put balls into the box. It showed in the second half last week against West Ham. They couldn't put balls into the box because they didn't have Bonnie Shaw in there and that target player that they've been so used to and relying on, because look, we know most things that go into the box, Bonnie Shaw's getting on it. And it did. It took for Fowler to obviously score the worldie. But I actually thought her second goal was equally as good for different reasons. Her movement across and to get that touch from the delivery from wide areas was a great finish. And then we saw Rodgers' own goal.
That was unfortunate.
That was so unfortunate. And it's like... It's
that
a
was
kick,
like
yeah,
a kick in the teeth.
It was. Like, it was one of those moments where you're like, ugh. It's gone in. And then obviously Alex Greenwood, 99 minutes. I mean, I didn't continue watching for 100 minutes.
She was buzzing. Yeah. She had the big, it was a rocket header. She had the biggest smile on her face. She was so happy.
She's had a great season. So obviously Manchester City moves them now 6 points clear of Chelsea at top of the league. And the goal difference is +6. Chelsea obviously have two games in hand. But that 6 goal difference, I think it's going to count for something come the end of the season. I don't know what you think.
Yeah, I think I saw a tweet saying... that they need to score like 7 against Liverpool.
No, over the two games.
Yeah,
Chelsea,
no, but
yeah.
If they want to, say for example, if they want to go into this Liverpool game and be like, we've got a greater goal difference, they have to score like 7. Yeah. I know it's over the two games, but for that game. This is what someone else tweeted. I'm just picking up on the tweet. But yeah, it will be difficult for Chelsea because the goal difference, it could come down to it. And Man City, we can see they're not stopping them. Yeah. I think... Gareth said in his post-match interview as well, he wanted to see goals. He was happy that there were multiple goals in the second half because it could be the difference.
Yeah, and I think, you know what, I think for the first time, I think this season, you know, I see City going on to win the remainder of their games and obviously I do with Chelsea, but I do think it potentially will come down to that goal difference. But for Chelsea, obviously we've seen they went out of the Conte Cup, they lost the Conte Cup final, went out of the FA Cup, they went out of the Champions League at the weekend, all within the space of 3 weeks. How hard will it be now, do you think, for those players to pick themselves back up for these last 4 games that they have to go and win something from the season? Because to come away with nothing, having been in the competition all the way through to April, it will kill them, no?
I think they just need to...
You think they've got the mental strength to do it?
They have to. I don't think they have a choice. I think they're footballers. They're professional footballers. They want to win. I think they're just going to have to... It's hard. It's obviously rubbish as well. No player wants to... fall out of 3 or 4 potential trophies. But they have to just, excuse the pun, like pull their socks up and go for it. They literally don't have any other choice, do they, realistically?
Yeah. I think it's going to be a tough ask. I really do. I think, you know, mentally, we saw there was fatigue there within the Chelsea team in the Barcelona game at the weekend. And
it
I just
might
think
be better
it's a real...
for them now that
but I feel like Manchester City have
games in
big
hand,
momentum.
Though,
Manchester City have momentum now. They've got, you know, they're on a winning run. They've got Arsenal at home at the weekend, which will be a difficult game. But I think one where City at home rarely get beaten. They obviously lost to Chelsea in the cup, but they rarely get beaten at home. I think they're unbeaten in, I think it's 15 games now, 14 games now at home. So they're really difficult to beat at home. And I don't see them, Manchester City, slipping up between now and the end of the season. So it's a big uphill task for Chelsea. But that was the Bristol City, Manchester City, because Bristol were at home. But I was at, we'll talk about the other game. I was at Everton against Arsenal, obviously with BBC showing that game. Arsenal mathematically could still win the league going into that game. Everton, nothing to play for, apart from a higher spot in the league, I guess. In terms of relegation, a little bit of pride that they were never going to get relegated. Pretty much a nothing game. And it played out exactly like that. And being up there, I mean, the conditions probably didn't help. Windy.
It was really windy, wasn't it?
Really, really windy. Cold. Like, the pitch
cold.
You could tell. The pitch was quite dry. I probably think that didn't help.
Didn't the sprinklers help? Half time, you got like a free shower,
I got
didn't
soaked.
You?
Let me tell you, I had to go off the pitch at half time in that game and go and put the hairdryer on my trousers to dry myself for 15 minutes. Come back out, didn't miss anything in the second half. But yeah, that game, what was frustrating about that game, Arsenal were by far and are by far the better team. We know that. We know that Arsenal's problems this year have not been creating chances. It's been converting chances. They had multiple chances that they should have put away. But I felt like tactically in that first half, the way that Everton play, and football frustrates me nowadays. I just, everybody wants to play the same way. Everybody wants to play out from the goalkeeper. That's fine.
That really
That's fine if you have players that are capable of breaking lines with that.
Yeah.
And you are progressing up the pitch. For me, Everton weren't progressing. Everton were playing out, certainly in the first 45 minutes. And they're up against the wind as well. They're playing out and they're not even getting out of their own defending third. Arsenal, in my opinion, should have been more front-footed, more aggressive, pressed them, because they're not comfortable in possession. They do it because that's what they're told to do. And I felt like Arsenal was, you know, certainly in terms of their intensity in the game, it just wasn't there for them. And it took till the 80th minute for Russo to score. And it was a lucky goal. It was a really good delivery to the back post. Beth Mead, obviously her strike at goal got saved, and then Russo taps in the rebound. But the talking point, I guess, of the game, and the only probably positive thing that came out of the game, Izzy Hobson, lifelong Evertonian, comes on and scores the equaliser in the 95th minute. Now, even if you aren't an Everton supporter, people in the stadium were celebrating that goal, because the game was just a boring game. And for somebody to come and do that at 16 years of age, I think it's only a fourth substitution appearance. What did you make of that?
It was really special. Stuff like that are magical moments. For her, you could see in her celebration, she was absolutely over the moon. You could see how happy all of her teammates were for her. The post-match celebrations as well. She was just buzzing ear to ear, like smiling, buzzing ear to ear. Even in her post-match chat with someone from Everton, it was on their socials, you could just see how happy she was. She was like, I didn't even know that it was going to go in.
You're talking about that. I think I heard it. And she said, she said it, maybe it was the same interview, and she said in it, it's been a lifelong dream. You're 16 years of age. How long have you been dreaming? For 4 years? But it made me laugh.
To do that, she's now the youngest scorer in the WSL. Mm. So when she scored, she was 16 years, 180 days old. To score for your club that you've played for I think she's always played for them as well. Yeah. But
supported them for sure.
But she's definitely supported them her whole life. She was just buzzing from ear to ear. You could see how much it meant. And it was a really special, magical moment. And it set a new record, which is exciting. It gave a lot of people a lot of things to talk about. And I think as well, this is just going to really knock her on for confidence. Mm. And hopefully it means more opportunity for her, because Everton have been hit by
a lot of injuries
this season. So we saw at halftime, they were speaking to Emily Ramsey, who she done one ankle, and then unfortunately she's done her other ankle. There's a few other players who are out, which have had such a massive effect. I think there was three or four players.
Three
or four players who were on the bench who were 16.
Yeah. So they brought another 16-year-old on as well.
They had an incredibly young bench, but that was a magic moment.
But you know what? Not even that. Don't get me wrong. Look, and if we go into stats, and if you're at the game and the chances that were created, Arsenal were the better team. Should have won the game. But the longer the game went on, the more you felt like, you know what? Everton don't deserve to lose this game. And I think that's from everybody. You know, even Alex Scott, a massive Arsenal fan. You know, and for the new, they deserve the point out of the game. Because I didn't think Arsenal played with the intensity or the levels that we know that they can to deserve all 3 points. So it was honestly the bench when Russo scored that goal, Everton was so deflated. How they picked themselves up and got themselves a couple of late set pieces to come up with the equaliser. But yeah, it is a big moment for her. But another stat which I've seen, which is funny, she's 16 and 100 whatever day. She weren't even alive when Arsenal won the quadruple.
It was four months later she was born.
So she wouldn't even know about the history of Arsenal. It's just she's just growing up with it now. So that was quite a funny one. But obviously that doesn't really do anything for the league. Obviously we know last week Arsenal guaranteed themselves Champions League football by finishing third. Obviously they picked up 3 points last weekend. And that keeps Everton in ninth place on level points with Brighton. Which we'll talk about that Brighton goal, because Brighton played away to Tottenham. And it went 1-0 up. And I think Thielen's had an unbelievable season. Very good season. Gets on the score sheet again, 17th minute. And your mate, Beth England, pops up with a goal. It's been a while since she scored in WSL. And scores an equaliser on 81 minutes. What did you make of that game?
Do you know what? The game, for me, it was a bit
You were
quiet.
There, right?
Yeah, I was there. On the pitch, it was a bit quiet for me. Like there was a lot of argy-bargy in the game. You could see that both teams really wanted to pick up the 3 points. I did think that Brighton deserved it more, if I'm being completely honest. But Spurs just love late winners.
They're doing it.
And it adds excitement getting a late winner. And it not once a goal goes in, it always knocks that confidence, doesn't it? And you're like, yeah, we go. But yeah, for me, Brighton wanted it. They had chances, but It wasn't the most exciting game that I've ever watched, but it was a decent game of football. Yeah. It wasn't a bad game of football. I was actually talking to Maisie Simons after the game, and she was happy to get some points.
Yeah.
Obviously, a point's better than no points, but they're in a position where Brighton are growing, aren't they? They've not had the best season in terms of like managerial changes, change. Yeah. And constant changes are hard for teams to develop. So I would like to see a bit more from Brighton, but I'm actually quite excited to see what happens with them in terms of managerial next season and how they knock on, because for me, Brighton have been like,
you know what,
the
problem,
a dark horse team at times.
The problem with Brighton is that at the club, you have to play a certain style of play. You've seen it through the men. They have this kind of DNA that they want to sit through the whole of the academy, through the women's system and that. And so a manager that comes in with new ideas, like Melissa did, that didn't quite marry up to what Brighton's expectation or how they wanted to play. You're bashing heads. So it kind of, that kind of broke apart, and obviously they lost her. And she's a fantastic manager. And it would have taken time, and I actually think she could have been successful for Brighton. And what that looks like is obviously not winning the WSL, but certainly competing a little bit higher up and going further in domestic competitions. But that would be an interesting one. And when you look around the market in terms of managers coming to WSL, if they were to bring someone in the summer, anyone jump to mind?
You just never know who they're going to pull in with managers. Mm. Like, it always feels like...
Remy Allen's done an unbelievable job at London City Lionesses, by the way.
Yeah.
She could be a great shout.
Do you think they'd take a chance on her?
I don't know if she'd want to do another year with London City. But, I mean, I've played with her. I know her standards, her game understanding, all of that. And obviously she's been able to turn it around. You know, I think it's 6 games, 4 wins, a draw and a loss maybe. Mate, London City Lionesses were sitting near the bottom when she took the job. So that turnaround that she's had there in 8 weeks, unbelievable. So she's certainly somebody that certainly has a future. Jo Potter, I know she's at Rangers out in Scotland, or up in Scotland. She's somebody, again, young, female, could be a potential candidate. But it'll be interesting.
Stick with who they've got now? Do you think that would be an option?
Could be an option, for sure. But I'm just like, is it the right option? Is it something that the players like? Who knows? They're not really picking up good results.
To go back to the Tottenham as well. Yeah. One thought that I did have, obviously you got the women's FA Cup.
I was going to ask you about the fans. What were they like? Because they've got a big, big cup final in 2 weeks' time.
The fans, there was...
A lot of fans or...?
There was 1,200 there yesterday, if I'm not mistaken. Around that number. Mm. You've got some... I could actually hear fans saying, oh, have you got your tickets for the FA Cup final? And people like, yeah, of course I have, like big groups. Cheering, excited. They're really excited for it, naturally, you would be. I did think, though, watching that game, I was like, this is stressing me out. If this is how they're going to play when they go to Wembley.
Well, we saw they had the rehearsal last week, did we? Was it 1-1? I can't remember now. 1-1 or 2-2. So we had a rehearsal for the cup final last weekend. But yeah, I certainly think the levels will need to go up a notch. And obviously with pressures of that, nerves with that game, you know, it's difficult when you manage the emotion of getting to a first FA Cup final.
There is that. But then also on the counter of that, what I've just said about Tottenham, I've literally seen United fans say the same based on their result that they got today. Yeah. If that's how... Are they, like, holding back because they've got one eye...
On the cup final, potentially. For sure, potentially.
But both teams, Tottenham and United. So.
So that was Tottenham against Brighton 1-1. Obviously, we said Everton 1-1 against Arsenal. Another 1-1 game. Aston Villa at home to West Ham. Lehmann scoring her first WSL goal of the season.
Yep.
Put Villa ahead on the 72nd minute.
Loads of late goals.
Yeah, Cook equalises in the 95th minute.
First West Ham goal. First goal
for both,
Ham.
So both of them.
No, this is her first West Ham
goal. Oh, that's
Ham
her first West Ham goal. And then it's obviously first Lehmann of the season.
Yeah.
So yeah, some first in
late
that game.
Late winner. Didn't I call that as a draw? Didn't I say that was going to be a draw?
Probably. Sitting on the fence, probably. But obviously that keeps Aston Villa in seventh, and obviously West Ham... survived and they're down in 11th. But the Leicester Man United game, Elatoon, 83rd minute, screamer.
Rocket. She'd done it before against them as well.
You know what made me laugh the most about this? I don't know if you saw it at the end of the game when she was battering Mary, saying she'd have scored it, like Mary wouldn't have stopped it. She was battering Mary. I'm not sure Mary took that too well. But yeah, I mean, look, she started to pick up a little bit of form, Elatoon. We've seen her score in recent weeks, but that's good for her going and for Man United going into the FA Cup final, because Mate, Wembley, when Ellertoon plays at Wembley, Ellertoon scores at Wembley. We've seen the impact that she's had when she plays for England at Wembley. She likes big games. I think Ellertoon's a big game player.
This podcast is brought to you by eHarmony, the dating app to find someone you can be yourself with. Why doesn't eHarmony allow copy and paste in first messages? Because you are unique, and your conversations should reflect that. eHarmony wants you to find someone who will get you. How are you going to know who gets you? If people send you the same generic conversation starters, they message everyone else. Conversations that actually help you get to know each other. Imagine that. Get who gets you on eHarmony. Sign up today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
You can't say that about everybody. And I know, like, you know, like, sometimes you question her body language and whatever. She's a winner. She wants to win standard expectations. You can see it. She gets frustrated at times when they're not performing the way that she expects. But, yeah, I think she's certainly starting to pick up a little bit of form, you know, back end of the season. And, you know, going into an FA Cup final in 2 weeks, scoring could be a big one for her.
Do you think she scored the final? If you had to put money on one player to score in the FA Cup final, Spurs or United, what player would you go for?
Ellertoon or Rach Williams, yeah. Fair or play. Probably both of them.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Look, that big game player mentality, I do definitely think that Ellertoon has that. But obviously that keeps Man United in fourth space with Liverpool having not played because they're playing Chelsea midweek, at home to Chelsea midweek. They're now 3 points.
It's a lot of travelling for Chelsea, isn't it?
They're 3 points ahead, aren't they? But the goal difference between Chelsea and Man United is huge. So Man United have like a 15-goal advantage in terms of goal difference, something like that. But that rounds up our WSL weekend of fixtures. So it was Everton 1, Arsenal 1, Tottenham 1, Brighton 1, Villa 1, West Ham 1, Leicester 0, Man United 1, and Bristol City 0, Manchester City 4, which meant Bristol City were relegated. So the news from the week, some of the roundups from the week, Manchester City have confirmed that Bonnie Shaw is out for the rest of the season with a foot injury. Just a little, do you think, given the 3 games they have left, Nancy, it will have an effect on the title race? Or do you think City are just too strong now?
I think City will have to change their game plan a little bit because they haven't got that target player. But I've said it multiple times throughout being on this podcast, they've got multiple goal scorers. Mm. So they're going to have to continue utilising those multiple goal scorers.
So we think City is still in the driving seat for that. Obviously, big news for Manchester City. So that was a bit of, you know, a downer with the fact that Bonnie Shaw got injured. But Lauren Hemp signs a new 3-year contract extension until 2027, despite rumours of interest from Barcelona and Arsenal. Obviously, did you see them? You'd have loved it because you love all this content stuff.
I did love it. Like, I'm glad.
We all know Lauren Hemp. Well, I've seen it throughout Lego. The year. She loves her Lego.
So clever how they did their
creative Lego announcement video. What did you make of it? I thought it was pretty cool. It was so cool, right?
I'm such a fan of it because they've been... It's not hard to put that together. Like, it's hard to put it together, but it's not hard to know Lauren likes it.
Yeah.
It's literally bringing
her character,
her character, something she likes, and a brand all into one. They've marketed that well. That's an excellent marketing tool for Lego. Mm. They're a massive brand anyway. People know what Lego is, but still to have that with Manchester City, who again are a massive brand, Lauren Hemp being the face of it because it's her announcement, and then just the fun and creativity around it, it gets people talking. And we're talking, for sure.
I thought it was really cool.
Yeah, big fan.
How important is she though? Because look, we saw the impact she had before the Euros. Unbelievable season before the Euros. Goes to the Euros in the summer, obviously won the Euros. She probably didn't repeat those levels at WSL in the Euros in terms of performance. How important is she to the City team if they are to really kick on and continuously compete in the WSL and obviously Champions League now, they've secured that?
I really enjoy watching Lauren Hemp play. I think she's a player that she does bits on the pitch. She's exciting to watch. She get a job done. She'll work hard. And it's quite funny because she on the pitch, you know when she's on the pitch because she's doing what she needs to do. She's exciting. And off the pitch, she's really quiet.
Yeah.
So it's like the two sides to her, which it's she's an exciting player. I really like Lauren Hemp. I think there are a lot of people who like Lauren Hemp and wouldn't be mad having her in their team. So I think I think City fans will be extremely happy. And yeah, going back to the announcement, the way they did it, I think they would have enjoyed that as well.
For me, she's huge. It's like, look, if they would have lost her, I think in terms of replacing her, I don't think there's a player out there that would replace her and bring the same to the City team that she does. I think certainly the impact, goals, assists that she's had over the years for Manchester City.
It's the continuity as well.
Yeah, I think that Manchester City, if they don't make any signings, they'll be happy that they've kept her for sure. So I think it's a huge signing, and her importance in the squad, I think, stats will tell you, it speaks volumes. But The Athletic this week reported that Ellie Robock, whose Manchester City contract runs out in June, is set to join Barcelona at the end of the season and sign a pre-contract agreement. Do you think this would be a good move for Ellie Robock? New league, new challenge, Champions League?
Taking it away from the football, I know the football is obviously she's a footballer. My first thoughts when I saw it was I'm really excited for her because I think it will make her happy. And if you're happy, other things start to cog and come together and tick. I was thinking, you're going to laugh at me. You're going to be like, oh, you always think this. But in terms of like...
Are you going to say she's a nice person?
She's going to... No, I'm going to say she is though. No, just her like living her best life.
Yeah.
Like her on socials when she goes on holiday, like her social media photo and content dumps are incredible. So I'm excited if she does sign to Barcelona, which it apparently looks like
just
it is.
Just soaking up the culture.
I think like her content would be on point. I think she'd be happy. I'm excited to see like all her content in like her Birkenstocks, LEX Birks is just something I picked. No, but Ellie knows Burks are just Burks are life. Anyway, but all jokes aside, I think she'd be really happy and she'd like soak it all up. And with that, I think it will then knock on to, as you say, new challenges, Champions League football. Barcelona are a winning team, aren't they? I think Espanyol will suit her.
Yeah. Do you know what? I'm excited for her. Look, she hasn't had the best of years, both on the pitch and off the pitch. You know, the way that things have been dealt with at Manchester City. Nobody really knows what goes on behind the scenes, but it obviously, from an outsider looking in, hasn't looked great, the treatment of her. That's just my opinion. I don't know early on that level to know the ins and outs, but I'm just excited for her to get back in a place where both mentally and physically she's able to play again. Because look, it was only 2 years ago we're talking about Ellie Robock being England number one just before the Euros. So if she can get back anywhere near to those levels... You know, at the minute, we're talking about Hannah Hampton. We were talking about Ellie Robock like this a couple of years ago. I hope that she can get back playing. I think Barcelona, in terms of the style, completely suits her. She's a ball-playing goalkeeper. We know she can play with her feet, very good shot stopper. So I think if she can get into this Barcelona team, still young, and get back playing regularly, the future only looks bright for her. And I really do hope that she can get back to those levels and get back to, as we said, enjoying football and being in a better place. So that's the news from this week. We will move on to our favourite part of the pod, our Match Day 21 predictions, sponsored by nobody. So any Betfair or Bets365, what are they? Paddy Power, what's the other ones? If you want to sponsor it, we're still waiting. But we've got...
This is your favourite thing to say. You know like how it. I say the same thing about certain bits? This is your same thing.
I'm trying to get a sponsor, if you want to. But anyway, Everton versus Tottenham. I'm going to go with an Everton win. No, I'm not. I lied. I actually lied. I'm going to go with a Tottenham away win.
I'm going to go with a draw.
Boring hell. Brighton, Aston Villa. I'm going to go with a Brighton home win. Ooh. Go and sit on that fence again and go with a draw. Dare ya.
Do you know what? I actually, I think I might go for a draw again, you know.
Okay.
And there'll be a couple goals, but I think it might be a draw.
This is the game of the weekend. Liverpool against Manchester United. This is the big six-pointer for that fourth spot. But you know what? I'm going to have to go and get to my old team and I'm going to go with a Man United away win.
Should I just go... I don't want to say a draw because you're just going to rip.
No, you can do that.
That surely there's not going to be that many draws. You know what?
Well, there was this weekend.
I know. You just never know with football. I think United might nick it.
Okay. Manchester City, Arsenal. I'm going to go for Manchester City home win.
He's a difficult...
Of course I hope not, but...
Of course I hope not. City win. Maybe like a 1-0, you know.
1-0. West Ham, Leicester. I'm going to go for Leicester away win.
I'm going to go for a draw. Do you know what? I feel like there's going to be a lot of draws.
Okay, that's fine. And Chelsea against Bristol. I'm going with a Chelsea win.
I'm going for a Chelsea win for that.
So that is our Matchday 21 predictions. We do have a few fans' questions. Some good ones this week. Do you think there will be any shock signings this summer?
I hope so. I love transfer season. I love the rumours.
If you think so, who do you think it might be?
Oh, I have no idea who. I'm just here for transfers. I love it. Like, I love that you'll just get random ones that will never happen.
Do you know what? Do you know which one is the most interesting one for me? We're now a month out of the end of the season. Vivian Miedema, my favourite player in the WSL, hasn't been offered a new Arsenal contract yet, if I'm right. Now, Arsenal, if you don't want to sign her, Chelsea, Bonpastor, new manager, you better put a transfer request in and try and get her over to the bridge.
Or do you think she'd ever go to Chelsea?
Mate, if Arsenal don't want her, I think I want her in the WSL. I want her in the WSL.
But do you think Viv would do that? She'd go.
Probably not. But I'm saying that one at the minute is really surprising for me that Arsenal haven't. I know she's had her injuries this season. It's really been really a difficult year for her, with the injuries. But for me, Arsenal have to offer her a contract. That's just my opinion. That's because I love her. But that probably...
I like her at Arsenal.
So look, here's another question. Fans have probably answered it. Will Vivian Miedema stay or go from Arsenal? If stays, should Miedema be playing in the number 9? I would honestly love to see her play behind Russo. I'd like to see Russo up in the 9. I'd like to see Viv just behind, because Viv will find her all day. Viv in those pockets, like, honestly, Viv could play 9 or 10. She could play in any of those positions. I think you need to build a team around her. Obviously, we know, like, the more you get from her, the more she's involved in it, the more you'll get out of her. She's an unbelievable player. But as I said, if Arsenal don't want her, if Arsenal don't offer her a contract, that's a big, big loss for Arsenal and potentially the WSL if she don't stay. I don't know what your thoughts on that is.
I would like her to stay. I like her at Arsenal, especially when she's playing well, when she's on job. Like, a couple of seasons ago, it was the Vivian Miedema show, wasn't it?
It was.
Everything was about her, and she was flying, and you love to see it. And do you know one thing that I actually love about her? She's so bad at celebrating goals.
She's just so good. Her facials don't change, right?
But stuff like that is part of her personality, but I love it. Yeah. I'd obviously love for her to stay in the WSL. Yeah. And I think, I can't speak for Arsenal fans, but...
Arsenal fans would want her, surely. Well.
Yeah, that would be
mine. I mean, if they don't, blows my mind. But
it's the same for Stina. They, like... If I'm not mistaken...
For me, in my opinion, after seeing them at the weekend, maybe it was just a one-off. Blackstenius and Russo can't play together in a 9-10.
That's what you wanted, but...
It don't sit.
On the feed, you could hear the Arsenal fans chanting about giving Stina an extension, contract extension. So they obviously want her. You can hear... Also, throughout that whole feed, all you could hear was the Arsenal fans chanting throughout the whole
Arsenal
game.
Fans are good, aren't they? Plus the camera was right next to them. No, Arsenal fans
you
are great.
Hear, but you
we know
hear
that. Look,
BBC
we already
stream.
Know that. 52,000 on average at the Emirates this year. We know Arsenal fans travel in their numbers and support them in their numbers, which is great. So the last question, opinions on the goalkeepers' tactical timeouts. Let me speak from a player's point of view, right? When I played, it was a tactic we come up with. We did it quite often in international football.
Keeper did it the most when you played with them?
And the reason why it was a tactic that we went into the game with.
But what keeper?
Whoever went in goal, it was
any
a tactic
of them, it
where
was always.
If somebody identified like an area, like, you know, if a team's on top of us and got momentum, it's kind of like, we need a minute.
Yeah.
We'd say, whoever's in goal at the time, you need to go down. Because the goalkeepers can't come off the pitch.
Would you blatantly be like, go down, or would you have like a little...
No, you need to go down.
Would you just do that?
No, it would be blatant. Well, I'd make it blatant. But the thing is, what it does, it gives you time to then regroup. It gives you time to get a little bit of information from whether it be within in pitch, which we did quite often at England. We had kind of leaders within our England team that kind
of... Oh, you're talking England?
No, I'm just talking in game when I played.
In general.
So the question is goalkeeper's tactical timeout. The reason why goalkeepers are used for that is because they can't be removed from the pitch if they go down with an injury. If I went down as an outfield player, I have to come off the pitch to come back on. So you've got 10 players. So we use the goalkeeper to do that. When, if you're in a team that actually needs that, so for example, if you're in a cup final, right, and you're 1-0 up against, you're the underdogs, you need a break, your back's against it or whatever, you need to break momentum. It's a frustrating one for the opposition, but it's a great one for you involved. If I'm on the opposition side now and a goalkeeper's going down and we're chasing the game and wanting to win, I'm going crazy because you know why they're doing it. But for me, it's a part of the game. And I feel like all of these small things are being taken out of the game. All the tactical, like all the streets, you know, like walking to the ball, delaying play, really frustrating opposition are slowly being removed from the game, from referees, whatever it is. But for me, I love it. I love that part of the game. It just shows that little raw streetness about opposition, in my opinion. I know everybody's using that one, but there's plenty of other ones that have been used and still do get used but by some teams. And I like it because I think it's a part of the game. I think it's tactics that, you know, as you say, if you're a team that likes... It's like in the darts. If you watch the darts and you have a player that likes to play fast.
Yeah.
And then you have an opponent that knows that you like to go quick and just takes his time.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's to say anything. You play cards. When I play cards or chess, I'm rushing somebody into a decision, not giving them enough thinking time. When you slow people down and stifle what they like, it's a tactic. And I'm all for it. Whoever put that question, great question. Yeah. I don't know about you. Go on.
I agree. It's what side you are of it, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So if you need it, you love it.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't need it, you hate it. And so, you can't have
same one. With VAR.
Yeah. You can't have one without the other. It's not like, oh, only this team can do it. It doesn't work like that. It's either it's in it or it's out. So you can't have the best of both worlds, can you?
For sure.
And that's exactly what you've just said. Mm. But it's funny because it does add that. It's that elements of adding frustration, trying to trigger the other team.
Love it.
And utilising it when you need it. I do think
sometimes... Mate, sports played up here as well. So if you're getting into someone's head and they're getting frustrated, you're already... There's fractions of you that are, or percentages that are already winning by doing that.
Yeah.
Everything's played up here. I get in your head when you're sat here talking about draws and you're saying, I can't say a draw again.
Yeah.
But it is. That's where it's played.
When you get in someone's head, it's game over, isn't it?
Exactly.
If you're in someone's head, then...
And they do. When you're losing, you're like, oh my God, you're like, ref, she's taking the piss because we know what she's doing. But as I said, if I'm needed to do it, I'm loving it.
Yeah. And then the thing is, if you're going to the ref and getting onto the ref because you're annoyed at what a player's doing, then it's likely that because you're getting onto the ref, you're going to get booked. And
exactly.
It's like, what?
Exactly. So it's a great tactic. I know fans probably really don't like it. But trust me, trust me, it works and it's really helpful when, you know, momentum not with you. But that rounds up our Boots, Balls and Bras for this week. We have two more episodes after this before the end of the season and looking forward to seeing who wins the league. But just before we sign off the podcast, we can't go without mentioning Crystal Palace were crowned champions of the Women's Championship and secured promotion to the WSL next season. So huge congratulations to them. There was a few questions as to whether or how we see their survival. Well, I know a coach there, one of the coaches there, Adam, he was one of our coaches at Reading. Unbelievable coach. Really enjoyed working under him. Technically, like, you know, some of the individual work that he does with players.
Yeah.
I mean, I really enjoyed my time with him, as I said, at Reading. And, you know, when you hear little bits and you hear that they're actually really well coached, I actually think they have a real good chance of survival in WSL1 next year. I think they'll have to add some additions. I think they have, you know, they do have a few experienced players of WSL1, but I do think they'll need to add a few more experienced players if they are to stay within the league. But I certainly think there's teams within the WSL that they will believe they can compete with and give themselves a real good chance. So, yeah, really... big news for them.
Another London
team. And I do think that they'll have a good chance. What's your thoughts on them? Have you seen much of them this year?
I actually know the GM really well. So the GM has actually done back-to-back promotion. So she was the GM of Bristol last year.
I think I knew that.
And she's
now the Palace.
GM of Palace. So she's got back-to-back promotions as a GM, which is pretty sick, to be fair.
It's cool.
I do think from what I know and what I've been told, Palace are back in their women's team, which is really, really... Yeah. Positive
to hear, and I'm glad I know that.
Yeah.
I do think they have a bigger budget
yeah.
as well, which we spoke about, mm-hmm. Bristol budget's not important, having yeah. that. I think you've got a lot of exciting players at Crystal, at
Palace. Yeah.
Palace. I was going to say Bristol and Crystal.
You know what helps? The attraction of it being a London club, and also the men's team being in the Premier League. I still think that is an attraction for females that want to come and play in the WSL.
I think as well, it will give excitement around those London like derby games, mm-hmm. because you get that. Yeah. More access for fans to be able to get the games in and around London, more games.
Mm.
So, I wish them all the best. I'm excited to see what they do, and I hope to see, with what I know, they get the back in and they get some players in, and they can really hopefully hold their own.
Yeah, so congratulations to Crystal Palace, who have been crowned the Women's Championship champions. Yeah, makes sense. Women's Championship champions, yeah. Double champions. that's it for us. We're over and out for Boots, Balls and Bras this week.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.